America and the world. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. If you don't get AFP, you need to subscribe. That's 1-888-699-NEWS, 1-888-699-NEWS, to get the American Free Press delivered to you on a weekly basis. Where, among many other fine correspondents, you can read Mark Anderson on a weekly basis. Our conversation with Mark has centered primarily today on the whole question of the presidential candidacy of Ron Paul and why he is resonating with people vis-a-vis any of the other folks that are out there running, either in the Republican primaries or the Democratic primaries. Mark, getting back to our conversation before the last couple of commercial breaks, you were observing that this war on terror is an amorphous, never-ending situation that basically simply fuels the budgets of the national security state. When I look at the war on terror, I'm struck by a couple of things. One is that, of course, even today, some of Bush's defenders are trying to defend this false link between Iraq and al-Qaeda. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is Justin Raimondo points out today at antiwar.com, our alliances in the war on terror continue shifting. I mean, this intervention in Iraq largely had us working militarily to install a Shiite-dominated central government in Baghdad, even though we were bankrolling Saddam Hussein between 1980 and 1988 as an Iraqi Ba'athist fighting against Ayatollah Khomeini and the Shiite Muslims of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're reading it in Raimondo's piece. Now we're reading that, well, the United States is going back and incredibly undertaking alliances with constituencies thought to be linked up to Sunnis specifically and to al-Qaeda as a means of countering the Iranians and the Shiites again. The point is that it seems that all of this is utterly crazy.
Yeah, at least it sounds crazy. You know, they always say there's a method to the madness, and you can be pretty sure in most respects there is a method to the madness. It appears chaotic to you and me and other observers, but they're moving the chess pieces around, I think, for a larger purpose. Granted, there's unintended consequences and bad ideas and a few mistakes made along the way. But, yeah, that points out the hopeless contradictions that are involved here to prop up the very factions that were once an enemy, to prop up the very person or dictators who later became an enemy. You know, this kind of transparent nonsense, that alone should be enough to get the American people thinking very, very long and hard about this war footing, this permanent war footing that our current regime is trying to keep us in. And, you know, all for what Barnett has described as, you know, to add more people to the functioning core. Thomas Barnett, the Pentagon analyst that I mentioned earlier, for your listeners that are just tuning in, the one that said the grand design is more or less or ought to be to force nations that are out of step with the global community, to force them into the global community. And I'll mention real briefly, just so I get the rest of this out, that Barnett said of that grand design, which is built on the chaos you were just speaking of, that the functioning core of the world has two-thirds of humanity peacefully coming together. That's a quote from Barnett. But that functioning core, which is the nations that are members of the global club, that core includes Red China. So according to Barnett, this humanity peacefully coming together includes this communist prison state, Red China.
We'll be back with Mark Anderson of the American Free Press when Mark Dantos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The Last Word Monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. And Mark's been sharing with us some information on a guy named Professor Thomas Barnett. Again, with reference to Matthias Chang's book, Brainwashed for War, Programmed to Kill, the Zionist Global War Agenda, Matthias has several places where he quotes the writings of Thomas Barnett, particularly one that came out in 2004. G.P. Putnam & Sons, New York, is the publisher. Barnett's book is entitled The Pentagon's New Map, War and Peace in the 21st Century. And Mark has already drawn out for us the essence of Barnett's argumentation, where he says, Barnett does, that in the era of globalization, we draw the line between those parts of the world that are actively integrating their national economies into the global economy, or what I call globalization's functioning core, and those that are failing to integrate themselves into that larger community and the rule sets it generates, or those states I identify as constituting the non-integrating gap. A country, and Chang has this highlighted, a country's potential to warrant a U.S. military response is inversely related to its globalization connectivity. But just as important, Barnett says, as getting them where they live,
is stopping the ability of these terrorist networks to access the core via the seam states that lie along the gap's bloody boundaries. It is along this seam that the core will seek to suppress bad things coming out of the gap. Which are some of these classic seam states? Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Morocco, Algeria, Greece, Turkey, Pakistan, Thailand, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Indonesia come to mind. Matthias Chang bolds that quotation with reference especially to where he lives in Malaysia, that on both sides of the Thai-Malaysian border, Matthias Chang, in his latest book on pages 138 and 39, identifies some very nefarious activity that is going on and that is being exacerbated by the American national security state in conjunction with Thomas Barnett's roadmap, and that this whole thing bodes ill for future things going on in Thailand, Malaysia, the Philippines, Indonesia, and elsewhere. Further evidence, folks, of the fact that Mark Anderson, I think, has the correct take on everything that we've talked about today, and so does Dr. Ron Paul. And hopefully Ron Paul will continue to gain traction as we approach this Iowa straw poll on August the 11th that Mark Anderson is going to be covering for the American Free Press. Mark, in regard to Paul and foreign policy, you know, AFP frequently notes a link, particularly through the writings of Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn, notes a link between many of these interventionist policies, especially in the Middle East, but not exclusively confined to that region, that connect up to Israel and the Zionist lobby. And AFP runs these articles on the role of the Zionist lobby in controlling the American news media and the domestic American political process up to this point. Do you think that Ron Paul at some juncture will more explicitly talk about that angle, or would he be committing political suicide at this point by bringing that into the conversation publicly?
He probably would hurt himself. I can't put myself in his brain. Nobody can. But what I think Ron would do is just simply cut back on foreign aid, if not eliminate it altogether, across the board, and that would include Israel. And that's really the best thing to do, is to stop being the financial milking cow for the world. We just can't do that anymore. It's unconstitutional, it's unwise, it's counterproductive, and the money usually falls into the wrong hands. So I think what he would do, rather than play into the hands of the ADL or something like that, is simply cut foreign aid across the board, and that's the proper thing to do from a common sense and constitutional standpoint.
Yes, and it seems to me that in terms of maintaining at this point his political viability, that a certain tactical discernment, I would guess, would be involved in this whole process. And what I'm thinking of is both in 1992 and in 1996, it is clear that Jewish involvement in certain media publications goes a long way toward explaining the demonization of Pat Buchanan that occurred both in 92 and in 96. And it seems to me that Paul is perhaps mindful of all of this. I don't know that he is, but I assume that he is. And one presumes that he is trying to stick to his guns in regard to the real issues while avoiding the opportunity to virtually guarantee that he would be demonized.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to hand someone else a club to hit you with. It's not smart in daily life or political life. And, yeah, those influences exist, and it's only a question of degree, I think. I think that it's fair to say, and I didn't even know, quite honestly, that Chang had Barnett in his book. I brought up Barnett's roadmap independently. I didn't refer to it because I knew it was in Chang's book. But I think that provides kind of the general schematic or blueprint of what's going on. And then these other things, the Zionist influence and the oil and things, are sort of subcomponents within the larger picture. That's my assessment of it. It's one of those things that no one man or no one person can fully understand, because these things are, you know, not supposed to be known by the general populace. But thanks to American Free Press and RBN and Americans becoming more inquisitive through the Internet, we're beginning to put the pieces of the puzzle together of the modus operandi behind all this that's bankrupting our nation and demoralizing our nation. And Dr. Paul is just the sort of the running counter to all of that. And as we said early in the broadcast, he's just making things very interesting, whether he wins or not. He's getting people to think in the right mold again. He's making it a lot harder to sell the idea of a war, especially these long-term multi-million, billion-dollar wars. And I've got to think that he's also making the incumbent members in Congress, we got to remember Ron Paul's still a congressman, that he's making them kind of maybe rethink the way they do things a little bit. I've noticed that maybe there's no correlation, but the Congress managed to defeat the amnesty bill, and Congress managed to defeat the idea of giving George Bush fast-track authority. Might it not just be possible that Ron Paul is making existing members of Congress a little bit more resilient to pressure from the executive branch? I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I would like to think so as well. And, again, it will be interesting to watch this because it reminds me a little bit of something that happened in my own family in 1967. My brother played in 1967 for one of the worst high school football teams in the history of the state of Ohio.
That's a marked distinction.
Yeah, they were in the so-called Southwest Buckeye League. They had lost every game. They had 10 regular season games. They lost the first 9, and they got into the 10th game, and they were playing the team that was leading their conference. And in what a game that is still talked about 40 years later, one of the greatest sports upsets in the history of the state of Ohio occurred when my brother's high school, Oakwood High School, upset Northmont High School in a game that clearly was a David and Goliath situation of just mammoth proportions when it comes to high school sports in that state. People who saw that game or who've ever read about it continue to talk about it. Oakwood High School, again, arguably one of the worst football programs in the history of the entire country, much less the state of Ohio. Nonetheless, managed on a single night, on a single Friday night in the late fall of 1967, to pull off an upset that's right up there, perhaps even superior in the ramifications of it, to the United States victory over Russia in the 1980 hockey game in the Olympics. Now, you know, as fantastic as this might sound, I keep looking at this Ron Paul political candidacy, and at one level, my own past political acumen. I was a Constitution Party candidate in the U.S. Senate race in Delaware in 2000. I worked for Howard Phillips for a time as an advisor and a consultant to help him with his news publications and so forth, and had been around the Republican Party as an activist for years. So I have some background in this sort of thing. And my logic tells me when I look at Paul, I think, you know, Dr. Paul's the only choice out there, but he's a protest candidate. He doesn't have a chance. God bless him. And yet, when I look at this guy and I see what's happening, I think, you know, maybe I'm just an old cynic. Maybe this guy is going to be just like Oakwood High School in 1967 when, against all the odds, they upset Northmont High School and cost the latter team a football championship in Southwest Ohio. Maybe Ron Paul is going to pull off something here that's just beyond anything we can imagine. Is that just fantasy, or do you think in your heart of heart, Mark, the heart of hearts, that maybe that's possible?
Oh, it's certainly possible, as long as the alternative media and, however begrudgingly, the regular media give him reasonably even-handed coverage. And then, but then we also have to confront, and I'm not being pessimistic, I do believe he has a reasonable chance of coming close to the nomination, if not getting it. But we have to also confront, this is a big issue in Texas there. I have a lot of friends in Austin, in case they're listening. They published a great book called Hacked, High-Tech Election Stealing in America, which I've written about and reviewed in American Free Press, and we've ran some advertisements. If Vicki Karp is listening by chance, hello to her. But they're pointing out, voter manipulation, electronic voting machines, and the stealing of elections. So, you know, we have that to confront as the 2008 presidential elections come around. The idea that elections can and have been rigged in some respects, in some instances. It's maybe not a glaring issue, but it's something we got to keep in mind.
We'll be back with Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. You can contact AFP for a subscription or to buy a book at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. Mark, what is your take on the fact that Ron Paul, of course, did run for president in 88, I believe, as a Libertarian candidate? I know that in the past the Constitution Party had expressed some interest in him, but that marriage never materialized. Here he is running in the Republican Party's primaries. Has he indicated in any way as to what his rationale was for that decision? Why do you think he has gone this route, which is certainly a justifiable decision, but why do you think he went that route as opposed to a third-party candidacy?
He briefly stated it on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart when I was in New Hampshire covering the GOP presidential debate there in Manchester. In the hotel room, I had read that the Daily Show was going to rebroadcast with him on there, and I watched it. He briefly alluded to the fact that he had run as a Libertarian because Jon Stewart asked him about it, and he more or less admitted generally that he had sort of a libertarian philosophy, but that he was elected to Congress as a Republican, and that he didn't feel at this juncture that running on a third-party ticket would give him enough of a lift that he would have a much better platform, a much more visibility, and would be heard louder and much more broader running with one of the major parties, despite his misgivings about some of the, you know, the ways these parties operate. You know, I eventually here in AFP, I'm going to be looking at, you know, the constitutional libertarian parties and giving them a fair shake. I mean, I'm sure they have very fine people that are running. I'd be curious what they're doing for presidential candidates in light of Ron Paul's candidacy, though, so as not to stack the deck in such a way where they would take votes away from Ron Paul. I don't know how they would respond, and that's something I want to explore. But he did allude to it on the Jon Stewart show that he thought at this point that the major party that he is serving in Congress under would be the best way to go under the circumstances.
Yes, and I think I will be very interested to follow your stories on this in the American Free Press, Mark, because as one who, you know, ran as a Constitution Party candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2000, I know a lot about the CP, of course. I know less about the Libertarian Party, except as an interested outsider. Mm-hmm. But to me, as I watched this whole thing unfold, you're raising the very question that I have in my own mind, and that is, how do the Constitution and Libertarian parties pursue their own agenda in terms of recruiting presidential candidates, when right now it would seem that the only game in town for people of that ideological persuasion is Ron Paul, and how do they, you know, how do they deal with that candidacy at the same time that they try to build their own political parties? That's a fascinating question. And whatever the answer may be, it's certainly something that they're going to have to wrestle with, because right now I don't see that there's anything else out there that's available to paleocons and libertarians other than Ron Paul. Now, in the Constitution Party, I know that they had this dalliance for a time with Dr. Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily, and of course, you know, Dr. Corsi writes for a lot of different publications and has published several books. I've had Corsi on this show. I agree with him on the North American Union, and I agree with him in regard to the threat that that poses in regard to a continuance of the globalist agenda. I don't, frankly, and Jerome Corsi seems like a very decent guy, but on foreign policy, we're not on the same page at all. He's very close, by his own admission, to the Israeli lobby and to the Zionist movement. He travels to Israel to talk to their government and representatives of their Knesset every once in a while. And it seems to me that in foreign policy, Corsi has some fairly strong neocon leanings that don't correspond at all to where Ron Paul is coming from or Pat Buchanan. And that's going to be another interesting take on this that I hope you follow up on with the Constitution Party. Where are they coming from now on foreign policy? And whatever they decide in terms of a presidential candidate, will they go with a classic America First type foreign policy person of a Ron Paul stripe, or will they go for someone like an Alan Keyes or a Jerome Corsi? Now, Corsi has now dropped out of the race, and I don't know why. He has indicated on this show that he was very interested in running. He later changed his mind and withdrew from the race. I don't know if Ron Paul's success has had anything at all to do with this or what the deal is, but clearly the Constitution Party, in regard to their situation, is going to, in my view, have to assess not only what the Ron Paul candidacy means to them and its implications, but the Constitution Party, I think, has something of a mixed voice within in regard to exactly what kind of a foreign policy they're going to stand on in this next cycle.
Yeah, I think I've known some people in the Constitution Party, Mr. Dennis James up in Michigan and some others. I think what he has always told me, and I've always agreed with him, is that the alternative parties need to run candidates at the lower levels of government and in Congress. So we have more constitutionalists in our counties and in our states and in the Congress.
Yes. And if you want to hear some real lunacy, somebody suggested that I ought to be the Constitution Party candidate for president, and I said, no, thank you. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. We've been covering in this last hour and a half a great deal that pertains to the Ron Paul presidential candidacy. Mark Anderson has a number of things in the fire, irons in the fire at the American Free Press, including some future coverage on the plans of the Constitution Party and the Libertarians in the wake of the Ron Paul candidacy. Mark, I wanted to ask you something. I was reading on the air one day from your article on what was going on up in Idaho with this gun shop and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. What is the latest on that story?
Continues. There was, according to Ryan Horsley, a little bit of a what appeared to be a bluff, as it turned out, trying to get him to stop talking to the media. Lest there be consequences and so on. But he's saying that in 2005 they had like one inspector come and all that, but now the frequency of the inspectors is, and they're flying him in from more distant places to continually look through his files in this modest gun shop. It's really strange. That story had quite an impact. I got a lot of emails on that, and I'm also told the powers that be have been reading it, because he's, you know, under this, you know, quasi surveillance or whatever it is they're doing. But a major thing, aside from just more nitpicking and bluffs and that kind of thing, is that the sheriff reportedly, I have not confirmed this, the sheriff doesn't like the ATF there without his permission and is starting to call them on the carpet on this, but I've got to confirm that. But that's the latest, that the nitpicking continues. Ryan is very good-natured about it. He laughs a lot about it. He, as far as I can tell, you know, runs a legitimate business. And a gun store, you know, by and large, should be treated like any other store. You know, it's a legitimate business is a legitimate business, and they should not be unduly harassed. It's, you know, as simple as that. So
The thing that I thought was especially interesting about your story is that you put it into a larger context, and that is that you have had what apparently has been a pattern of this sort of thing with legitimate gun shops around the country, designed, as near as I can tell, to put into motion gun control measures that they could never get through the legislature, and also to get around the fact that all of these attempts to sue gun manufacturers ultimately failed. So it's starting to look to me, at least, like the BATF is now the instrument of choice among those who want to do anything that they can to curtail private gun ownership in this country. So if they can't do it through these other vehicles, they'll try to put these guys out of business through harassment.
Right, and also there's the side issue that due to Red China's enormous appetite for metals around the world, both virgin metal and recyclable scrap metal, and I think a lot of the Twin Tower metal went to China, not all of it, but a lot of it. Due to that, it's driving up the cost of ammunition because the alloys used to make ammunition are becoming more scarce. So this is one of the side effects of this industrializing China and deindustrializing the United States. And that's an issue to sort of keep in your mind as you look at the ATF tactics. And you use the key word, Mark, private. Private gun ownership is what the gun controllers are after. They're not averse to guns. They're only averse to private people owning guns. In fact, the federal government is more armed than ever. And so, you know, it's not a question of whether there should be guns. It's a question of who should have them.
Yes, and again, it would seem to dovetail with the larger implications of the desire of these globalists to clearly want to create a police state that involves complete domestic repression at home, and that involves a perpetual state of war abroad in the interest of the very coalition that you described, oil companies, Zionists, central bankers, that this is a very nefarious mix that's involved in this whole business. And clearly that is something to watch in the days ahead. I think both internet regulation and hate crimes legislation, like Ted Pike was talking about yesterday on this show, and gun confiscation are all a part of the larger picture.
Yeah, there's subtlety too, and you know, and this is an area where I could be mistaken, but there was an interesting broadcast with Chris Hansen doing one of those news magazine shows. I don't think it was 48 hours. I get them all mixed up. But it was one where they had a computer at a home, and they had emails. They had a girl there, and they had emails coming in from would-be predators, men that wanted to sleep with minor girls, girls who are minors. And they would come there, and Chris Hansen, this mainstream media news commentator, would actually help entrap these suspects for the police. And it showed how the Internet was being used to... for these would-be predators to communicate with this teenage girl who was set up as a decoy. And then Chris Hansen of this, one of the major network's news shows, the girl would talk to the would-be predator who would show up at the house, and then Chris Hansen would walk out from behind a wall and say, "Hi, I'm Chris Hansen of so-and-so news show." And here we have a journalist actually directly working with police involved in entrapment, which is very questionable ethically that a journalist should directly work with police to arrest people who, yes, they're very suspicious, and yes, they're doing things that are not really right, but who have actually not committed a crime per se.
Well, yes, and I think that this would have a deleterious and potentially designed effect as well upon legitimate journalists like yourself. In other words, people get wind of a story like that, and the next thing you know, if they are approached by somebody like Michael Collins Piper or Mark Glenn or Mark Anderson, would otherwise be predisposed to talking to you guys, they might think, well, gee, maybe these guys are secretly working for the feds or for the local police or whomever it might happen to be.
Yeah, and so not only do we have a journalist working directly to entrap suspects for the police, but we have the internet subtly being portrayed as this easy way for predators to prey upon teenage girls. And I saw that broadcast, and I wonder if there's not sort of an undercurrent there, a propaganda tool to sort of put the internet in a less flattering light to sort of set the stage for future regulation. Now, I'm being speculative, no doubt about it, but I think this is the way it works. They don't directly attack the internet. They show the internet being used for nefarious purposes, and they erode people's confidence in it. Particularly
yes.
Older people that are not computer literate and don't care about the internet.
Well, like in my own family, for example, my parents in San Antonio, God bless them, they're wonderful people, but they watch Fox News, and unlike you and I, Mark, when we watch that thing with the eye that we have, they tend to believe the stuff that's on there.
Oh, goodness.
And yeah, I know. And that's one of the, they're wonderful people. We all have flaws. That's theirs. And, you know, when I try to point out some of the connections of Rupert Murdoch, for example, that they've not seen before for obvious reasons, I try to contextualize for them why it might be that some of the information on that network, if not most of it, is a pack of lies, particularly when it comes to foreign policy and to Israel. Well, you know, my mother has this thing where it's like if she sees something on Fox News, she tends to trust that far more than the internet, which she views with extreme suspicion. And I've tried to say to her, you know, it's probably the inverse, Mother, that is true. In this day and age, you're likely to find far better journalism, far deeper journalism, far more honest perspectives on the net than you're going to find watching this stage-managed stuff that you guys listen to every night. So there's a curious thing on this. I see it in my own family, and it's potentially a misperception that the powers that be would like to exploit, because as it stands now with alternative media, this, I think, goes a long way toward explaining the burgeoning popularity of Ron Paul, among many other things.
Sure does.
And it also explains the burgeoning lack of popularity for this war in the Middle East. Well, if the powers that be are panicking and they have to say, hey, we've got to do something to gain our old foothold again on the control and dissemination of information, it would seem to me that that would dovetail with the thesis that you're hinting at here, Mark, and that is they're going to have to engage in greater regulation of internet publishing and internet talk radio, because right now we've been able to put some burrs under their saddle.
Yeah, and Ron Paul is proving it, that the internet is not just a dalliance but a real tool. And but, you know, they cannot, for all the internet's flaws, you know, pornography and the things that you can access over the internet, look at the mainstream media apart from the news media. Look at shows like Desperate Housewives. Look at shows, look at the movie, the motion picture industry, where two men get married in order to get health insurance. You tell me they're not pushing an agenda?
Yeah.
You're telling me that the movies and mainstream movies and mainstream TV also don't have sordid components? The internet does not have a monopoly on sordid or, improper material by any means. You don't even have to get cable anymore in order to see things that even a generation or two ago would have been considered way off base. You know?
Yeah, and I think what we are witnessing, and this gets back to some of the cultural stuff that I was talking about in the first hour of the show before you came on. I have a contact in Florida who listens to this show, who referred in an email communication sent to me to the putrefaction of our culture. and the extent to which this is destroying our civilization. I think that that's exactly correct. And what you have is, in the last, 40 years, what I see is a systematic desensitization going on here, and in utilizing corporate media, principally movies and television, to create an increasing acceptance of ideas that would have been aberrational, repulsive, and unacceptable just a generation or two ago.
Yeah, and Fox television programming is particularly bad, and so how can you believe Fox News is some clean-cut, relatively...
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch Fox's programming, a lot of it deals with all sorts of disturbing or puerile or over-the-top kind of subjects, even in their comedies. It's just way over-the-top kind of material. And, of really no redeeming social value whatsoever. And I'm not such a prude where I think that every show has to be serious intellectual discussion. I don't mean that. But it's tasteless stuff that's on Fox, even apart from their news, where we have to listen to Sean Hannity, who are really just retreads or sort of the reincarnation of George Creel, who was the head of the propaganda department during World War I, who stumped for Woodrow Wilson's war to end all wars. And he was part of the government, sort of an extension of it. Now all we have is the same thing privatized in our news media through Murdoch's Fox News, especially, where Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity are basically taking George Creel's script and rereading it in support of the current wars, where, opponents of the war are shouted down. If you've seen Sean Hannity's treatment of anybody who's anti-war, you know what I mean. He doesn't even allow them to talk a complete sentence in response to him. So.
Yes, and this brings us to something I've been dying to ask you. Greg Felton, who's on this show as a regular on Mondays, I don't know if you are familiar with Greg. I understand he's also going to be doing a show for Hesham Talawi. But Greg Felton is from Vancouver, Canada, and he's written a book entitled The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That's a Dandelion Books publication. And Greg was making the point on this show on Monday that he could see a time in the next 10 years or less where we could see a revolution in this country, in the United States, because of what is happening in the wake of this movement toward a global empire and a very, very virulent brand of global fascism that, again, is tied up with Zionism, it's tied up with oil companies, it's tied up with central banking and global consortiums of all types. And Greg said that as more people begin to understand the extent to which their culture and their economy is being destroyed and the extent to which this war on terror is taking us into all kinds of blind alleys, that eventually they're going to throw up their hands and there are going to be some very frightening things that could transpire. Is that your take on this, Mark? Are we looking at a scenario that could prove to be that draconian?
I hope not. I think a lot of that upheaval could be avoided if we just didn't have such a servile populace. And what Ron Paul is doing is, even apart from whether you think he'll win the presidency or nomination or not, what he's doing is he's taken all these different sort of isolated pockets of people of different ages and slightly different persuasions, and he's kind of uniting them under this banner of constitutional liberty and non-interventionism. He's sort of putting or consolidating all these different groups and individuals who before kind of operated in their own networks, and he's giving them a voice and kind of uniting them, and now all of a sudden interventionism is being revisited in a way unlike any time before. And even if Ron just goes back to Congress, he will have done a great public service, and maybe we can pray that it'll diffuse the kind of scenario you're describing, because nobody wants social upheaval. And if it ever comes, it'll be at the government's hand, not the people.
Yes, that's my reading of it too. And in a very real way, I think that Ron Paul is in a sense, I don't know if this is the correct word I want to use, re-legitimizing the electoral process, in that people are looking at him and saying, hey, I finally have a choice. There's finally somebody who is representing me, who's articulating the constitutional values that I was taught, that I grew up with, and that is the lone voice in the wilderness. in this sea of Madison Avenue packaging otherwise. And that to me is hopeful, not simply because I believe in the issues that Paul is talking about, but in a very real sense, if he does have some measure of success that can be built upon, then we have a vehicle, it seems to me, where we are talking about the opportunity for the expression of the political views and cultural views that matter to us in a fashion that would seem to preempt the possibility of the draconian scenario that Greg was talking about is a potential reality in this country in the next 10 years if things don't turn around.
Yeah, I agree. And also, it's one of the things, when I first heard Ron Paul was considering running for president, I wondered if he hadn't been persuaded to do that to get him out of Congress. In other words, sort of a trick, you know, and maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I don't think so, because what I've subsequently learned is that he plans on returning to Congress if he doesn't make it.
Yes, that's my understanding, that he will be able to retain his congressional seat, and that's good news.
That's very important.
We'll be back with Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Antos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the last couple of minutes of our conversation with Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. We've covered a lot of ground in the last 2 hours, especially as it pertains to the candidacy of Ron Paul for the presidency. And I've been promoting him as a part of a package which involves supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network, the American Free Press, the Barnes Review, and Ron Paul. If you folks out there will utilize all of these opportunities and support them, I think we will be a better country 1 year or 5 years from today, God willing. Mark, in the last minute or two that we have, what kinds of things do you think you're going to be pursuing with the AFP in coming weeks?
Well, working on a book on depleted uranium, following up on Ryan's Trading Post, the gun store in Idaho that we talked about a little bit ago, various issues, keeping an eye on the Paul campaign because it's such a unique, interesting phenomenon when you take into account even the last few decades of the American political scene, and various other issues. Your Texas listeners, keeping an eye on the Trans-Texas Corridor. Back in June 4, we ran an article by me, yours truly, Texans Halt the Free Trade Highway, where state legislators kind of put the Trans-Texas Corridor on ice for a while. And I'm going to be exploring that to make sure that that's still holding true, that the state legislature there in Austin was able to sort of shelve or at least delay the TTC, the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is a component of the NAFTA superhighway system. And so those are some of the issues. I happen to write a lot about Texas. A lot is going on there, and oftentimes I'm writing about stories that are based there, including border issues and Minutemen groups and different things like that.
Yes, and I think what I pick up on through reading your column and those of Mark Glenn and Michael Collins Piper is that there's a real, if you want to put it this way, I think a crisis in the American right that's a healthy one because it involves redefining who and what we are. I think the American right has been hijacked, especially since the end of World War II. Dr. E. Michael Jones covers some of this in the Culture Wars of April 2007.
Yeah, I know Mr. Jones. He lives right by me.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was on my show yesterday. He's been on my show a couple of times. Great guy.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that just as Bill Buckley and National Review and Dr. Jones' judgment were used to hijack the American right after World War II, it seems to me that this Ron Paul candidacy might be the other side of the coin, that maybe the old American right is in the process of reclaiming its territory through this guy's candidacy.
Yeah, that could be, because Dr. Paul has referred to Bob Taft and some of the old guard of the old right, and liberal, more democratic, progressive people have nothing to fear from the old right philosophy.
Absolutely. Mark Anderson, I'd like to thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America. People can subscribe to the American Free Press by calling 1-888-699-NEWS. Mark Glenn and Father John Martinez will be with me tomorrow, per usual. This is Mark Dankoff's America signing off today from San Antonio, Texas. God bless you. See you tomorrow, 7 a.m. sharp, Central Time.